You're listening to All Dinner Reality, episode 386. We're talking comics.
We are young, we are strong. We're not looking for where we belong. We're not cool, we are free. And we're running with God on our knees.
Alternate Reality is a podcast about comics, comic-related media, and comic-related merchandise. We do reviews of all sorts, TV, video games, movies, and comic issues. So be warned, the following show material contains spoilers. If you have not read your books, seen the movies, played the games, so forth and so on, then you may want to stop the show until you have done so, or you can proceed at your own caution. You have been warned.
Hello and welcome to All Dinner Reality, the comic book podcast. My name is John.
I'm Charlie.
And we are producing some fantastic sounds for you this week as we talk about everything going on in the world of comics. You won't...
Yes, we are.
You won't... No, Charlie. No, as he leans to one side. Not those kinds of sounds. We're, you know, it's... our friends on the Secret Identity podcast, who've gone away now, they used to say...
They still do.
No, Brian and Matt, they're done with that show.
No, not Secret Identity. I'm thinking of...
Raging Bullets. Oh, Raging Bullets. So Secret Identity, who was kind of a sister show to us and came out about the same time we did, although stuck with it longer, they used to say from time to time that they were producing solid gold ear candy. So that's kind of what we're shooting for this week. We're trying to get this show to sound better. We're trying to get things to flow better and have a better vibe here on the show. So we hope you enjoy that. Continue to look over my air conditioning. It's running in the background. It's not a thing I can do about it. And we refuse to sweat. So, and if you know me and you know my exercise routine, you know that's true. All right. So we're going to talk about some comics this week. Now, we want you to pay attention to the feed this week. I'm working on getting Alternate Reality back to its former glory. So I was working with iTunes earlier today, trying to get us relisted over there. I'm working on the Podomatic site, trying to get it designed just right. At some point, we may try to get an Alternate Reality website, like an official website, going again. But these things are baby steps. They'll be coming a little bit at a time. And as we make those kinds of changes, or as we have announcements to make, we'll holler at you. We want to make sure that everybody knows that we still have an email address. And that is Alternate Reality Podcast, all together, one word, no dots, no spaces, no periods, no hyphens or anything like that. Just Alternate Reality Podcast, all lowercase, all smushed together, at gmail.com. So please, if you're a fan of the show, send us an email and ask us questions or comment about the show. And if you do, we'll try to read and respond to that on the air. We used to do that all the time, and we would love the opportunity to do that again. As time goes on, we may reintroduce features back into the show that we used to have. We used to kind of do a book of the month. We used to do a lot of things. We've already done movie reviews. We got another one coming for you this week as we're going to talk about Solo. I enjoyed it well enough. Charlie, not so much. And we'll get into that.
Solo should have been played 10 miles away.
Solo, nobody could hear it or see it. Yeah, okay. So we'll talk about what we liked and what we didn't like. You look for that next episode in the feed after this episode. So we'll be back in just a second to do that and get into it and talk about comics. You guys sit tight. We'll be right back.
Were we so different? They're a young species. They have much to learn. But I've seen goodness in them. Freedom is the right of all sentient beings.
All right, so getting back to what we do best here at All in the Reality, we're talking about comics, and this week we're talking about the second installment of the Justice League No Justice miniseries. I think this is the miniseries that's kind of going to set up our Justice League issues going forward in the main title. And so Charlie had an opportunity to catch up on number two. We're still kind of a week behind. Number three came out this past week. We'll get to that probably next week, so just bear with us. We'll get there. But in this issue number two, this issue, not a lot happens in this issue. A lot of character conversation in this issue. A lot of back and forth, jibbity-jab, talking heads. You've got Amanda Waller and Green Arrow fighting it out in the Arctic, which is kind of funny.
She's like, oh, this would have worked if I hadn't killed Brainiac.
Oh, so you're responsible. I should put this arrow in your face. you can do that, but you would doom the whole planet. This button's wired with a nuclear device that's coming right for us. It's coming right for us! So, they're having this conversation, trying to decide, because she has discovered... Well, no, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. That's next issue. So they're fighting it out, trying to figure out who's to blame for the current problems. Is the Justice League lost in space? Is it Amanda Waller's fault? Green Arrow, is he there to help her or hinder her? And he's trying to figure that out. Flash to Kalu, and we have these teams.
Flash to Kalu.
Come in, Kalu. We've got our teams, which are broken up into their different groups, as we talked about last week. You've got the Mystery Team, the Wonder Team.
The Entropy Team. We're not causing enough entropy.
And the Wisdom Team. And so they've gone around to the four different trees that are on the planet. The Tree of Entropy, the Tree of Wonder, the Tree of Mystery, the Tree of Wisdom. And they've never done a really good job of explaining what they're doing here. Because about the time that Brainiac was going to tell them, his head exploded.
Yeah.
So they're not sure if they're supposed to cut the tree down. They're not sure if they're supposed to strengthen the tree, balance the tree so that no one tree is more strong than the other tree.
These four trees are just on Kalu.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's very, very convenient. And so while they're trying to hammer out their differences and figure this out, you have a lot of chaotic back and forth in the team. A lot of just, I'm not doing what you say. Well, you should do what I say, blah, blah, blah. They basically, this whole issue is that.
Yeah.
And so I guess you needed to sift through that. At least Scott Snyder felt like we did. You need to be able to sift through that to get to the main point of the story. And the main point of the story that we get to finally at the end is that Batman and his team managed to break in to the Entropy Tree. And the Entropy Tree turns out to be a giant prison. And who is located in this prison, Charlie?
Vril Drox.
Vril Drox, who is better known as
Brainiac 2.
So
now, he's better known as the leader of the rebels.
Well, okay, so this is a series that came out like in the 90s or something like that.
No, it was early
2000s. Okay, and so Brainiac 2, there's a whole convoluted history with the different iterations of Brainiac, leading all the way up to Brainiac 5, which is a member of the Legion of Superheroes. Yeah. But Brainiac 2 wasn't overtly evil the way Brainiac is.
No, he was more arrogant.
Yeah.
he knew he was smart because he's got I think he's got 11th level intellect.
Or something like that.
So it's somewhere, it's a little better than Brainiac's.
So, again, the problem with the DC Universe is we don't know if this is the same old Vril Drox, Brainiac 2. Is this the same old Brainiac 2 that we've known through all of DC continuity after Crisis on Infinite Earths, or is this a new version of him that we're just being introduced to the first time? And if so, what will the similarities be and how will it be different? It's all up in the air at this point. Dun, dun, dun.
But if we get a new Rebels series,
you like that book.
The crap out of that.
I didn't read that, so I don't know. I can't speak to it if it was any good or not. So, again, this issue, I have read ahead to the third issue. It's better than this issue. This issue is a stepstone to that. And so we need to get there. I think you'll like our review of the next issue better. Charlie, you want to talk about The Mighty Thor, Gates of Valhalla, number one.
Well, this is a kind of cool book because you remember the granddaughters of Thor?
Yes, the ones that were in the original Jason Aaron run.
Atli, when he was Frigg, and...
Right.
The other one.
When he was fighting Gore the God Butcher.
Yeah.
And they were at the end of time or something.
Well, they're
like
traveling into the past and into the future with these time gems.
Right.
I don't know how the time gem works. I think they punch it and they go back into the past.
Punch it.
But like they
Is this the time gem, the Infinity Stone time gem? No, it's a different one. Okay.
These are just gems.
These are just time gems. They're just laying around.
Yeah, they're just laying around in
Marvel Universe.
Grandfather Thor's
treasure room.
Treasure room,
yeah. Okay.
So the thing is, it's like they're trying to find Thor. Well, the first time they go way back in the past, and they get young Thor. But it's not young Thor that they've met before. It's an older young Thor.
Okay, so not as young.
So then they go to the future.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another Thor. It's not their grandfather. It's somebody else.
Right.
Well, what they're doing is they're trying to find Jane Foster Thor. And they find her in the book, and it's kind of funny because They tell her about all these adventures she has. And it's funny because these are adventures that she hasn't had yet.
Right.
But the thing is, she's not Thor anymore.
Okay.
So it's kind of weird how that's working out, because is Mighty Thor going to come back? Because she tells the girl, she's like, look, I destroyed the Mjolnir.
The hammer?
The hammer, throwing Mangog into the sun and exploded.
Mm-hmm.
And the part of the hammer that came back is only like this little tiny thing.
Right.
He's like, well, they're like, well, you've done amazing things and blah, blah, blah. We're all fans or whatever. Which is kind of funny because, like, it's sad that I think this, but I think they're kind of hot, like two of them.
Yeah. Charles like, ooh, these girls are cute.
Well, the thing is, it's like, then the book switches to Malekith, and he's going through all the other realms.
Right.
And what he's doing is he's kind of poking and prodding the people. He's like, look, Asgard never done anything for you. we should go after that. He's with Curse, too.
Right. So he's a troublemaker.
Yeah.
He's causing trouble.
Well, that's the thing. It's like the whole thing with the rest of the book is that he's trying to start a war with all of these people.
All the Nine Realms, basically.
And I think this is a lead-off. Because he, like, at the end of the book, it's like, check out Thor, War of the Realms, later next year. Yeah. That's kind of how it ends.
Okay, cool. So this was a weird standalone one-off issue, though, because the regular Mighty Thor series ended. And for those of us that haven't read that, because I haven't, but I'll let you go ahead and spoil it. We get to the end of that, and Jane Foster dies or not?
She goes to Valhalla for like 5 minutes.
Okay.
And then wakes up.
So when she wakes up, she's alive?
Yeah, and she's cancer-ridden Jane Foster. There's no Mighty Thor.
So that part of her persona's gone.
Yeah.
Now she just has to fight the cancer.
Yeah.
And she have they indicate whether she thinks she'll make it or they not say it?
Well,
they leave it hanging.
She's in this issue, she's about to go into the cancer ward.
Mm-hmm.
Because she hasn't followed up with any of her treatments for like...
Right, because she's been busy being...
A month or two.
Right, she's been busy being Thor.
Well, the thing is, every time she was Thor, it was killing her too.
Right, because the other side of her persona, the cancer's still progressing. Right? Yeah. Or does it freeze it?
She's not helping herself when she became Mighty Thor.
Right, it doesn't heal her.
Yeah.
But let's say if she's Mighty Thor for 2 days.
Yeah.
Then when she comes back to being Jane, is the cancer 2 days further along? Or is it where it was when she started 2 days ago?
I think it's further along.
Okay, right. So
almost as if they were two separate.
So that's the whole point about missing the treatments. That's why it was important that she not miss them.
Yeah.
Because even if you turn into Thor, it's not stopping the cancer that's bothering Jane Foster.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
And I think when she turned back, it was like almost like a werewolf thing where like your body had been through that.
Right. Oh, so you still had battle damage and stuff?
Well, she wasn't hurt or whatever. I'm just saying that there was... Her body noticed the transformation or whatever. It left her weaker every time.
Oh, okay.
That's why they...
They thought she was getting worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it may have just been wear and tear from being Thor. It's possible. So at this point, the fate of Jane Foster is still up in the air.
Yeah.
Okay. So will Marvel kill her off? You make the call. Send your responses to aldenrealitypodcast@gmail.com and let us know what you think.
I still think it was terrible that like when they first did the Mighty Thor,
mm-hmm.
like one of the variants they did was like fashion cancer Jane Thor.
Fashion cancer.
Yeah. They did a design variants.
Oh, yeah?
For like all the new characters or
right, so
the updated costumes when they started Legacy or... No, it's not Legacy. It's when they did the all new,
mm-hmm.
all different Marvel or right. whatever. Well, yeah. Well,
so they had fashion variants where they were in different outfits and different things like that.
Well, no. It was like design variants. Like I said, like Deadpool got a new costume. So here's him and the writer describes his costume.
Uh-huh.
It's like, oh, he's got two buttons here where he used to have one, blah, blah, blah. Well, they did one for Jane Foster.
Mm-hmm. But instead of doing Thor.
Yeah, they did Jane Foster.
Yeah.
And they were like, she wears a do-rag because her hair is... falling out because of the chemo, and she wears loose fitting clothes because it's easier to get in and out of.
That's weird.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I still think that's one of the worst parts. One of the worst things Marvel done in a few years.
All right, moving along to Avengers number 2. This is beautiful to look at. You know, because if you know the show and you've been listening to me and Charlie for any length of time, you know that we both love Ed McGuinness artwork.
Yes.
And so, if there's no other reason to pick up this book...
Oh, I forgot to tell you.
Oh, sorry.
What? In the Thor one that I just reviewed.
Right.
Atli, Frigg, and the other girl, they go back to the 1 million.
Oh, yeah?
So they're hanging around out with the fire... the New York universe.
Oh, the Star Brand Hulk?
Yeah, the Star Brand Hulk.
Yeah.
And they're like, whoa, that's Odin. Why is he kissing this red-haired woman?
Okay, that's
cool. It was kind of funny because they were just there and they were like, what the heck's going on here?
Well, that's cool that Jason Aaron's got the ability to...
But that's what I'm saying. He writes that book. He writes this Avengers book.
Right. So again, as I was saying, if you know anything about us, you know that me and Charlie are both huge Ed McGuinness fans. And
a few pages of Ed McGuinness.
I wish I did. I'm envious of Charlie to that degree. But so if you didn't want, if you didn't buy Avengers 1, 2, 3, however many issues Ed McGuinness is going to be on for any other reason.
I checked like the previews and it's like up to like 9 in the previews
that he's still solicited Ed McGuinness for. Oh, okay. Cool.
So I was like, wow.
That's doing good.
See, I don't think he's been doing anything for a while, so he must have been...
And maybe he needs the money.
...taking all that time to...
Put this in the can?
Yeah.
Oh, that's possible. So, but like I said, if you don't pick up this book for any other reason, just pick it up for the artwork and just look at it. It is gorgeous. That aside, there seems to be a lot in common between this book and the Justice League book.
I think someone said that on Twitter. Like, am I reading the same book?
Because, and again,
I mean, it's a little different.
They're different stories, right? So we've got Celestials.
They just have certain things that are happening that are somewhat...
That are very, very coincidental.
Yeah.
Now, this book is more about a team-building book, whereas in the Justice League already is a team. So that they're not trying to build a team. Here we're trying to build a team. And despite all the talking and fighting that goes on in this book, and it's really not... You can't... There's not a lot of need to go into it for that reason. Yeah. You're rounding out your team. We knew from the last issue that we were getting the three originals. We're getting Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor. Yeah, all right.
They have to be in there.
We know...
they are the Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman.
They're the trinity of the Marvel Universe. That is absolutely true.
I think Tony's Wonder Woman, but... Yeah.
I always thought it was Thor. But anyway... You know that you're getting Black Panther and Doctor Strange. They were featured last issue. Captain Marvel shows up last issue, so we were getting her. And we're getting this new Ghost Rider. He showed up last issue. And we're getting the Savage She-Hulk. So this issue, they all start meeting and commingling together. And so there's a huge confrontation between the new Ghost Rider and the Savage She-Hulk. I mean, they draw down on each other and they're ready to fight. And I don't know how I feel about this, because at the level to which she busts out of her clothes, she'd be a naked Green Hulk running around. I love the fact that as the Hulk, you can rip out of every single stitch of clothes that you have on, except those covering your private areas.
For her panties are still on there by the looks of it.
And so, for whatever reason, your clothes will rip everywhere else, but apparently in the Marvel Universe, they make industrial strength undergarments.
Well, I said that's the thing. It's funny, like, because we're, like, always, like, talking about, like, I've been starting to read the Peter David Hulk, and it's, like, every time, like, Banner turns into Hulk, like, he's, like, he doesn't bring extra clothes with him, but yet, when he comes back from being Hulk, his clothes are not shredded.
Oh, the 80s cartoon was that way. Did you ever watch that? That was narrated by Stan Lee.
Yeah.
He would turn into the Hulk, and they have pre-cut animation for that, right? So every time he transforms into the Hulk, it looks the same, like He-Man on that cartoon, right? It always looks the same. And then on a few occasions on the show, you would actually get to see him turn back into Banner. Well, they had pre-cut animation for that, too. They would actually show his shirt coming back together. They just run the footage backwards. Oh. That was great. And so when he turned back into Banner, he had all his clothes back on.
I said, that's every Hawk now.
So that's pretty cool. But I love the fact that all her pants rips off except right around her crotch, and her shirt rips completely apart except right around her breast. And so I'm like, well, that's convenient.
But then again, if you've ever seen female bodybuilders, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's pretty flat. Yeah, I agree with you.
but not this She-Hulk.
So we have our three main Trinity members, you know, Iron Man, Thor, and Captain America, and they're trying to take it to these Celestials. They're bouncing right off of them. They're nothing to them. And this whole thing is being narrated by someone whose text box is green and white. Or the white background with green font in that text box is the behind-the-scenes narration of this
comic. Are you trying to say box?
Did I not say box?
You keep saying Bach.
My bad. Okay, my bad. It's a box. I apologize. Thank you for pointing it out for everybody, Charlie. Charlie's like, they heard it.
I was going to say, if you did it like five more times, I'm sure everyone would point it out.
And keep saying box. And so we get to the end. And finally, by the time that the Hulk and Ghost Rider fight kind of draws to a conclusion, they realize they're on the same side. So that team is kind of forming up, and they'll join the others soon.
Well, who's in the green and white text box?
But the text box that's green and white is being narrated by none other than Loki.
Yeah.
So he is the big bad. To some degree, I feel like, are they doing the movie Avengers with just a few other side characters? Because you're getting Loki as the bad guy.
Well, he was the bad guy in the first issue of Avengers.
Well, okay. Maybe that's true.
So I think
I didn't think about that. Okay. Because I just wonder if they were echoing the movie franchise and how Loki was...
Well, see, that's why Loki was the first bad guy they fought in Avengers.
Okay. Well, that makes sense then. So it's not a harkening to the movies. It's a harkening to the original comics. Okay. That makes me feel some better then.
Which, when I saw that, like... Loki reveals, like, really? We doing that again?
Well, yeah, he's been the bad guy a lot.
He's like, yes, I'm going to kill my brother Thor.
But you can say what you want to. He does have, like, his scepter, kind of like from the movie. And that's something that he never really had before. So it almost looks like there's a glowy stone in it.
Well, the funny thing is, that's, like, the kind of younger Loki.
Mm-hmm.
Because for a while, he was, like, a boy.
Oh, yeah, he was a small child. Well, for a while, he was a woman.
Well, but what I'm saying is, for a while, he was a younger boy after this.
Right.
And, like, he just ran for, like, president or something and vote Loki, which was this weird Marvel book.
Yeah.
So I guess he's, like, getting older.
So, don't get me wrong, the story in this is not bad, per se. But if you wanted a deep read full of a lot of context and you know, deep issues and planning and character interaction. This is not the book for you. If you want to see superpowered people punch each other with beautiful artwork, this is the book for you. So you should get it for that reason, and that reason alone. All right, Charlie, you're talking the Superman Special number one. Now, we have not touched Action Comics 1000 since we've come back. And we're going to wait on that because I'm not to it yet. I got a few issues of Superman to catch up on before I hit that. But I'm going to let you go ahead and jump into action because there was an action special, and now you're going to do the Superman special. Because really all those are is just tying up a few loose ends from the old series.
No.
No? I thought that's what the purpose...
just random stories.
Oh, I thought that was the purpose of it. They had a few loose ends. They needed to tie them up so to make way for Bendis.
No.
Okay.
I mean, this one ties up a story, but for the most part, they're just random stories.
All right, well then, go for it.
That's why this is kind of cool, because, like, the first issue of this, well, the first story in this, they're dealing with, I think his name is Captain Storm.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's his name. He was the guy, yeah, Captain Storm. He was the guy that they left on Dinosaur Island when they were there. And I do like the art in this book because it's very, like, big and kind of comic-y.
Right.
And I like comic-y artwork.
It's not small panels like Watchmen or something like that.
And that's pretty cool. They deal with him. They bring him back to the future. Well, not back to the future, like, out of that dimension, because I think Dinosaur Island's in a different dimension. And he brings back, like, some of the losers, like, items when they had died. Like he takes their dog tags or whatever. And he's going to give them back to their family or bury them or whatever. And the funny thing is, he spent, like, all of his, like, life in, like, a cave. Well, in the past 30 or 40 years in a cave.
Right.
Which is kind of funny. They even actually make the joke that he gets government back pay. From, like, the 30s or whenever where he was at. He's like, I got a pretty good chunk of change. So when he's doing all these travels, like, he rents a motel room, but he really can't sleep in it. He's really restless.
Right.
So what he does is he just gets in the bed of this flat bed truck.
And it's like a 57 down. Truck or something like that.
Yeah, he just lays down and he's, like, able to sleep, which I thought was kind of cool. The next story is a Brian Hitch story. And it's about these aliens that just attack, and, like, Superman, like, it has to help this older, I think it's a guy. Yeah, it's a guy, and he's having this, like, inner fight in his brain. He's like, well, I can't save everyone all the time. He's like,
right.
So what happens is, like, this guy's pictures are in his house that had been, like, hit by the aliens, and the whole building's about to collapse.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes into the building, and there's, like, a dog in there. And what he does is he rescues the dog. And he gives it to the guy, and the guy's like, well, I probably won't be able to remember my wife, but I'm pretty sure she would want me to take care of someone. So this is kind of like fulfilling her wish.
Right.
And that's where that story ends, which I thought was kind of cool.
Sure.
It's drawn by Brian Hitch.
That's nice.
I was like, ooh.
You don't like the Brian Hitch?
No.
Okay.
That's why I didn't buy JLA. And there's another one where he teams up with the dun-dun-dun.
Oh, the Atomic Skull.
Well, apparently the Atomic Skull works for the DEO now.
Is he drinking a cup of coffee?
Yeah.
How does that work? And you don't have anything underneath your jawbone here. And there's no tongue. There's no bottom of your mouth.
Well, it's a thing. It's like he's going through, like, a typical day.
Right.
Working for the DEO.
That's like that dude that works at the DEO. It's not him. It's that other guy that's in charge. What's his name? Bones. Like, he smokes.
Well, I don't think he's in the new DEO. Because I think he turned bad or something like that.
Oh,
I think
okay.
He's evil or something like that.
Well, yeah. With a face that's a skull, that tends to be the case. Ask Skeletor.
But the thing is like, Captain Sawyer's talking to him, and they go after this one guy. I think his name's Shockwave, right? And he's like a former partner of the Atomic Skull. And Superman's like, well, I don't know about this. And you think he's like thinking, like, well, I can't team up with the Atomic Skull. He's a bad guy.
Right.
But that's totally not where this goes at all, because Superman's just like, yep, we gotta go get Shockwave. You're doing a good job. And the thing is, like, Shockwave, like, tries to get, like, the Atomic Skull to, like, fight Superman. He's like, come on, Atomic Skull. We can take him together. We got the power. And he's like, you think for a minute that he's going to do it, but then he has, like, a flashback in his brain.
Right.
Where, like, Captain Maggie Sawyer helped him and, like, gives him, like, his first badge. He's like, here you go, Officer Atomic Skull or whatever.
Right.
And he's like, he totally betrays Shockwave. And he's like, he takes them down. They work together. But the thing is, like, Atomic Skull, like, still's, like, not real happy with, like, Superman, because he thinks, like, he's, like, totally gonna, like, ruin his life or whatever.
Right. He's still worried that Superman sees him as an enemy.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, like I said, that's not how this whole thing goes. And that was the last one in the issue. It was pretty good.
Excellent.
But at the end of it, it says, not the end. Dun, dun, dun. But I'm like, really? I don't think Bendis is going to, like, be bringing...
He's going to follow up on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Atomic Skull is a person who's trying to do the right thing, but still struggles with it.
Well, no. it wasn't like he was struggling.
He said he seemed tempted to do the wrong
thing. Well, he seemed tempted at first, but then, like I said, he's... I guess he, like, looked at his life where it was before, and now what his life is like now.
I just wonder if that's a thought process he has to go through regularly to remind himself.
Probably not.
Oh, okay.
All right. But I'm thinking, like, if he had... If, like, I would say in the chance that, like, yeah, me and my friend could probably take down Superman. Would you take that chance?
Yeah, it's a lot to gamble on.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like he might have been thinking that, but I can't tell in like a 5-page story what his brain process goes through.
All right, that brings us to the last thing I want to talk about this evening, which is, again, I told you I'm a little bit behind everybody on my Superman rating. I'm trying to get caught up, get up to Action Comics 1000 so that I can be ready for Bendis' run as it starts coming out. And I read a 3-issue arc, Superman 39, 40, and 41 this past week. 39 was a touching standalone issue where Superman, at the beginning of the story, he's under threat by these people who are bank hijackers or whatever they are. But their whole thing is that they've got construction weapons. So I don't know if they're calling themselves like the working crew or damage control or whatever they're called. But like one of them's got a steamroller, one of them's got a jackhammer, one of them's got a rivet gun. So, and like these people are like talking trash to Superman, like, we'll take you down, Superman. And he's just like, seriously? And the best thing they can do against
the wrecking crew. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And the best thing that they can do is that guy with the steamroller catches him by surprise, which I don't know how because steamrollers are slow. Catches him by surprise and runs over him from behind. And Superman just stands back up like, seriously? That's it? And so he quickly and easily...
Maybe he's just playing with him.
He quickly and easily deals with them. And then he's off to see the children at a cancer ward. He's
off to see the children.
He goes to see these kids at a cancer ward because he had promised today that he would come by there and he'd spend time with them. And so he does, and he talks to them for a long time. And then he clears something with the hospital administration staff, and they said, well, we need to be concerned about the children's safety. And he said, you have our most guarantees and everything. And they said, very well, we'll allow it. And so Superman goes back out on the floor where the kids are at, and he goes, all right, kids, how would you all like to take a trip? And they said, what kind of trip, Superman? Yeah, Superman, what are you talking about? Yeah,
straight
Superman.
Straight up.
and about that time, out the window pulls up in like a bus, Green Lantern. And it's a green bus because it's a construct. And... he says, come on, everybody, get on. And he opens the door. The kids all file out the window onto the Green Lantern bus. And then the bus changes to like a space shuttle and it blasts off in the atmosphere. And they go up to the Justice League satellite. And like these kids, this whole issue is just Superman being really sweet to these kids.
Yeah.
And so they get up to, and they meet the Justice League.
Yeah, I remember that one, like when Batman like was like, these kids could be in like imminent danger or something.
Well, no, but he acted like he was disgruntled that they were there, like, this is crazy, we got work to do. And so
they always justice, always justice.
And so they're going around and they're meeting the members and they're talking to them and asking them questions and stuff. And Superman's like, okay, kids, now it's time for our Justice League scavenger hunt. Whoever gets the most items will win a special prize. And so he lists the items on the scavenger hunt, and it's like Aquaman's trident, Wonder Woman's bracelets.
Batman's batarang.
No. Well, there's a batarang, but then the last thing on the list is a Batman's picture smiling. Of Batman smiling.
Yeah.
And he hands them all smartphones. They said, good luck with that one. And so they all run around, and some of them find different things.
Good luck with the impossible mission.
And there's one boy, they go, come on, Batman, smile. And Batman will not smile. I'm like, Batman, you're a prick. I mean, geez, these kids are cancer kids. You know, you should smile. He will not smile, and this one kid goes up and he says, hey, Batman, I got something to tell you. And Batman leans down, and the kid whispers something in Batman's ear, and you don't know what it is. And about that time, Batman goes, huh? And he smiles, and every one of them take a picture. And the kids are like, what'd you say to Batman? He went, I told him a joke. And Batman turns around, it's pretty funny. And walks off as he says, it's pretty funny. And so they all did really good at the scavenger hunt, and Superman's like, all right, so the guy who got Batman to smile is the scavenger hunt winner. And he says, Superman, I don't want a special prize just for me. Can everybody have a special prize? And he said, they sure can. And so he retrofits them all with, like, spacesuits, and they're out on the moon's surface walking around looking at the Earth. And that's how the issue ends. It was really touching about Superman.
It was a one-off issue.
It was a one-off issue, and it was
like
really...
There was a lot of, like, scuttlebutt. Like, this was probably the worst issue of Superman ever.
It was sweet and tender. I liked it. The next two issues, 40 and 41 were a two-issue mini where Superman and John are at the fortress, and he's talking to him about Krypton, about how it blew up and stuff like that. John's got a lot of questions, obviously. And suddenly, there's an alarm goes off on the fortress computer. And he goes, "Dad, what is that?" And he goes, "Well, because of the way Krypton blew up, I've had the fortress satellites looking for planets in the atmosphere who might suffer in the cosmos that might suffer a similar fate."
Oh, is it with the fish people?
Yeah, it is the fish people. Yeah. And he goes, "So there's a planet out there that is in a situation where they might blow up. I've got to try to save them." And he begs him to go, and Superman doesn't want to, but he takes him. He relents. And so he goes, and they go to this planet, and they go, and they, the planet's covered in water. They go under the sea, and they meet these seahorse people.
Under the sea.
Da-da-da-da-da, under the sea. And they meet these seahorse people. And Superman says, "Never fear, seahorse people. I am Superman. I'm a man with superpowers.
I come from a planet much like your own." I'll get to that in a minute.
"And I am here with my vast abilities and super strength to save your planet." And they said, "Leave. We don't want you to save our planet." And he goes, "Wait, what? What do you mean you don't want me to save your planet?" "Well, we are heavy." Now, to me, this was kind of, I understand what they're trying to do, but as a religious person, this feels like it might be a slap at religious people. I don't know. But anyway, they go, "We're an extremely religious people, and we believe that if it's our God's wish that this planet be destroyed, that we accept that fate with honor and dignity. Please leave. We do not wish to be saved." Superman's like, "Well, surely you don't speak for everyone." "We do, and the prophecy was given that you would come and try to change our ways and steal us away from our planet, and we can't allow that." And so apparently they have faith magic, and their faith magic weakens Superman's powers by believing that it's true. Okay, whatever.
And, don't make fun of other religions, John. Yeah. That's not good.
Oh, well, okay, it seems like to me they're making fun of other religions in the book. But anyway,
They stopped him with their hopes and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers. Yeah, sending thoughts and prayers your way. And so Superman runs off because, like, suddenly they're overpowering him because his powers have been dampened with their faith magic. And and so he runs away and he meets the only scientist left on the planet of seahorse people.
Well, see, unlike your planet was full of scientists and one person who had faith. That's the exact opposite.
And so he was like, "It was my hope that someone like you would come to help us. But according to my calculations, it's far too late now. So I have created this rocket with many of me and my wife's eggs inside it that I was going to blast off to another planet." I was like, "Oh, wow, superfish people. This is great." And he said, "It is my hope that you would guide it to its new destination. Will you do that, Superman?" And he goes, "Yeah, all right, I will." And then about that time, the religious zealots break in and they kill the scientist. "I hope to go too, but now I know it is not possible. So tell me you will do what I ask you to do, Superman." And he goes, "Yes, you have my word." Well, now all the religious zealot people kind of feel bad about what they've done. And they go, "We see maybe now it was wrong to kill him, but we still have no intentions of leaving, Superman. You still need to go, and we'll give you one last opportunity to peacefully do so." Fine. He takes the thing with the eggs in it, and he flies off. And him and John are sitting there on an asteroid watching the planet as it blows up. And the gist of it at the end of it was, some people you just can't help. And it was really a weird...
Well, I think they were trying to say, like, despite all their differences, that they compromised a little bit.
To some degree, there was this idea that they were trying to convey in the story about respect for other people's beliefs.
Yeah.
And so, to that degree, Superman had no right to force salvation on them.
Well, theoretically, you shouldn't be able to do that anyway, because then that just basically, like, fascism coming in.
More or less.
Yeah.
Because despite the fact that Superman's all about saving lives, you can't make somebody accept your help.
Yeah.
And so that maybe was a lesson that Superman needed to learn, because he was perfectly willing to override their wishes if it meant saving lives.
Yeah. And, like, I don't care what your religion says.
Right, stupid religion.
And at the end of
it, John says, "Dad, they believe in their God, yeah. And people on Earth believe in a God, yes. And even people on Krypton believed in Ra'al, yes, they did. Dad, what do you believe?" And Superman goes, "I believe in something. I've seen too much to believe that this universe is just nothing else past that. There's something spiritual in the universe, but I don't know what it is. He said, but I have confidence that if we do the right thing, things will work out, or something like that.
He's never met the presence.
Yeah.
But he's been to the source wall a few hundred times.
Yeah, so he... Basically, Superman's like, I'm an agnostic. I'm willing to accept that there's something greater out there, but I've not seen it. Which I'm not sure is if true, because I think he has seen it in different stories. But
that's what I'm saying. He's like, I know there are gods. I've been to the source wall. But I don't know.
He's met the Spectre. The Spectre is the wrath of God.
But that's what I'm saying. I think the presence, I don't think the presence actually makes itself aware that much.
No. Or Dr. Manhattan now. I'm not sure what the presence actually is anymore. Which, again, DC, work out your issues and explain it, please. We need to know.
I don't need to know.
I need to know.
I don't care.
Charlie, last book we're talking about...
I'm just here for the ride.
Charlie, last book we're talking about today, that's Harley Quinn. The special Harley Loves Joker.
Number two.
Oh, is this two? Okay, my bad.
Two-issue miniseries. Yeah, this is written by Paul Dini.
Oh, master.
And it's funny because, like, he brought back, like, a couple of people that he was writing during his detective run.
Mm-hmm.
When him and Dustin Nguyen was doing it.
Right.
And this is a little story about, like, how Harley meets her old college, like, not nemesis or adversaries, but, like, just some girls she didn't like in high school.
Right.
Or in college, they worked at the same laboratory. But the girl was working on this thing with, like, squirrels or woodchucks or something like that. It's basically kind of a lizard story.
Okay.
She's been using, like, squirrel DNA, and she injects herself. Of course.
Yes.
So she becomes...
Because, like, they've not done that in the Batman universe.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, because she actually gets the formula from...
Dr.
Not Langstrom, but the guy who worked for Langstrom.
Yeah.
Who I think was in the Batman, the cartoon. The guy who wasn't Langstrom, but the little dude who... stolen his formula.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's who she meets. She gets the formula off of, and she injects herself, and she becomes... Well, I tell you what, she calls herself the Grissom, but for the life of me, like, I'll show you a picture of her. Yeah, that's her right there.
Okay.
She looks like a skunk. But she's not. She's just like a... like a chipmunk person, or what's a bigger chipmunk? I don't know what the... a squirrel person or whatever. Whatever.
Woodchuck?
No. But anyway, like...
Rat?
No. The thing is, it's like... her, like, now it's like she's trying to take Harley's place in the Joker gang.
Okay.
And Harley's feeling... misplaced, because she's like, well, anytime I say something to Mr. J, he just doesn't, like, want to listen. It just all the grist and what she wants to do and whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's
kind of... Now, is Harley and Joker together at this point?
Yes.
Okay. Because I think in the regular book that comes out, they're not.
But that's what I'm saying. I think this is...
So the animated universe?
No, this is, like, still takes off during his...
during his detective run.
His detective run, which they were still together. And the funny thing is, in this book, like, the Grissom plans this big, huge heist against Bruce Wayne, and Harley calls, like, Bruce Wayne. She's, like, hello, I need to talk to Mr. Wayne or whatever.
Your Harley impression is spot on.
No, it's awesome, because she uses a fake Boston accent.
Right.
So she really goes into
she provided those hot eyes.
Those hot eyes and those long woods.
Yeah.
And it's like, she hangs up the phone. She's talking to Alfred, and she's like, yeah, I need to talk to Mr. Wayne, like that. And it's like, and he's like, Harley Quinn, how did you get this?
Like, you ain't fooling Alfred.
And she explains, she's like, yeah, I know Mr. J is going to attack Bruce Wayne's, like, security place or whatever. And it's funny, she goes back to their hideout or whatever. And the Joker has, like, left her, like, a little puppet with, like, a videotape thing on there. Which is funny because it totally reminded me of Arkham Asylum.
Mm-hmm.
With, like, the Joker doll with the Joker's face on it.
Sure.
And the Joker leaves this message. He's like, well, Holly, I know that I'm not...
Well, he's with the impressions tonight.
He's like, well, that's the thing. It's like reading Paul Dini's work. It's
you
like,
just hear it in your head.
I hear Harley Quinn. I hear Mark Hamill. I hear Bruce when he's talking. But he goes, well, of course I'm not following her, Holly. It's just part of the gag or whatever. And she's just totally called Bruce Wayne and told him about the thing.
Oddly enough, it's a pretty good impression. Seriously.
But the funny thing is, it's like, they go to, like, steal the stuff, and, like, Batman's there, and he beats the crap out of them. And the Joker comes back. He's like, well, Holly, I don't know how Batman showed up, but no, nothing. I don't care. And they, like, kiss, and that's the end of the book. And I was just like, this is kind of funny. Because it's like...
So what happened to the competition?
Batman caught her.
Oh, so she goes to jail or whatever. Yeah. Okay.
Joker escapes, as always. Yes. But the funny thing is, it's like, he's
so
like...
So, in telling on him, she got her caught.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing was, the Joker was gonna stab her in the back anyway, and, like, tie her up when they had, like, robbed the place anyway.
Right.
Well, the funny thing is, it's like, she owes, I don't know if you remember, but she was, like, a construction worker The girl, like, used to, like, build the things in the detective room. Well, she shows up again.
Mm. Oh, yeah, I remember.
And
yeah.
She's working with the Mad Hatter's gang, who are all those fairy tale guys with, like, the guy with the big teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's the walrus and the other, like, Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Right.
Because, like I said, it's a big sequel to his run on Detective. So, like, she owes, like, them, like, $100,000 or whatever. And if they'd done that robbery, they would have gotten the money. But seeing as she called Batman, nobody got the money. So she's like, yeah, I think we need to get out of town for a while, Mr. J. Like that. He's like, well, it's pretty weird that, like, when we got there, like, it exploded at this one point. And it's like, it's almost like we were set up. And, like, how Batman showed up, and she's like, oh, Mr. J, like that, and that's how it ends. It's kind of funny. Well, like cool. I said, it's kind of funny because they have to keep on running to get away from the Mad Hatter gang. But if they just went through with the robbery, if she hadn't told anybody, the Joker's plan would have worked. He would have, like, left the Grissom there to be befallen by the police, and they would have gotten the money to pay off the other gang. Right.
Okay, that's cool. You feel like Paul Dini's got enough clout that if he ever came back to Batman comics, he could just ignore all the stuff that's happened since his run and just go back to what he was doing.
But that's what I'm saying. This is almost exactly like
that. But wouldn't that be cool if all creators could do that? Like, you get Dan Jurgens back on Superman, and he just goes back to the 90s and writes from there. That's
kind of what he
was doing. Well, similarly.
Rebirth, I mean.
You know, you put Peter David back on the whole... Everything that's happened is just he just ignores it and goes back to what he was
Peter
doing.
David has always said that, like... He's like, how would I write the Hulk coming back? Page one, Bruce Banner's grave, and it's like torn to pieces. That's how the Hulk comes back, because the Hulk just comes back.
Right.
Like, that's how Peter David said he would do that.
Right. And he wouldn't even try to explain it.
No, he wouldn't explain it.
Yeah.
Instead of bringing him up back as, like, some possessed, spiritual, immortal thing.
Star Brand Hulk, something, I don't know. All right, that's it for our comic book run this week. We'll be back in just a moment to close the show out. You guys sit tight.
I'd advise you to try the Plasma Disruptor. It's more of a woman's weapon.
Go, Chief.
All right, Charlie, we had a good time talking about comics this week. I actually roused through some of the old alternate reality files. And I found my cheat sheet that I used to look at to close the show out, how I wanted to plug this up, plug that, whatever. So it's funny. I want to remind people about the podcast site over on Podomatic. So you can go over there to arnetcast.podomatic.com to see episodes of the show as we post them. But if you've got it subscribed to in your podcatcher, you don't need to do that. You just wait for it to post to your iTunes account or whatever that you listen to it on. At some point, I hope to do a regular Alden Rally podcast website, you know, that talks about who we are and why we love comics and stuff like that. Maybe write some articles or something. Who knows? Might be fun. We used to have a Cafe Press store that had Alden Rally t-shirts and stuff like that. Yeah. They finally took that down.
Oh, really?
And it was weird because it was up for years after the show was off the air. It was up for the longest time. And you know, I'd go back and I'd look at it once in a while and say, wow, those Alternate Reality panties are still on there. but it's gone. I went and checked it today and they finally pulled it down. So we'll have to, I don't know if Cafe Press is the place to go. I mean, that was mid-2000s when we launched the Cafe Press site. There are probably other sites that do that better. So we may have to find another site to print Alternate Reality cool stuff on. If you know of a good place to do stuff like that, send us an email. We would love to hear from you. And speaking of email, we send that email to Alden Rally Podcast.
I was going
to
say, we got one? That's great.
Yeah, we got an email address, Charlie, and it's just for the show.
Oh, I thought we got an email.
No. That was fast. We just solicited that at the beginning of the show.
All right, Nuggie, what do you want? Come on.
No, it's Raven Jack. or maybe Frank Castle.
Matthew Kaiser.
But anyway.
Yeah, I don't know what David's doing anymore.
I would love to reconnect with some of our old listeners. Because I haven't heard a lot from them in the last little bit. So, but I was going through old emails. You remember how we used to have the voice line, the voicemail? You had to call a number and you leave a voicemail.
Yes.
Then we would get a voicemail file, a sound file, in our email. I was going back through and deleting our old emails out so I could start fresh, and I found some of those. There was like 50 of them. They were all from Raven Jack. And you know what he would say each week? Was like, hey, I just want to make sure that the line stays open and they don't close it on you.
Because every 30 days, if no one had used it.
Then they would cancel it.
And we'd have to go through another.
And get another number and stuff.
Yeah.
So that was really, really sweet of him to do that, to make sure that the Alden Rally line stayed open.
Not that you had anything interesting to say, Mike. You know, just kidding.
Well, yeah, but most of the time, maybe he didn't. He just doing us a solid, making sure the line stays open. You guys have a good week. AldenRealityPodcast@gmail.com is our email address. Send us an email about whatever's on your mind, what you thought of the show, what comics you're reading, so forth and so on, or did you agree with our review tonight or disagree with it and why. We're not doing any book of the month or any contest right now. We may get back into that stuff down the road. Just hang out. I'm trying to get our show relisted on iTunes, so look for that in the next couple days. It takes a little while to populate over there. And if the show does get relisted over on iTunes, then find us there and leave a positive review. That helps more people find Alden Rally. That's cool. We're on the social media, twitter.com/JohnLoveless for me, /XOnslaught for Charlie. The show itself has a podcast, a Twitter address. It's AR_podcast, I believe, is our show feed on Twitter. And, of course, we're on the Facebook. Alternate Reality has a Facebook page. You can search for it. You should be able to find it. And me and Charlie are both on there as well. Search for us. You should be able to find us. And Alternate Reality is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network, which used to be a huge deal. I went over to the Comics Podcast Network site the other day. There are still like 12,000 podcasts that are a member of that, and they all post over there. So I was like, that's great that they're still going strong. That's one thing that didn't fade, you know. The forums all faded, and all that stuff went away, but the Comics Podcast Network's still going strong, so that's cool. Check out the Comics Podcast Network. You can find a bunch of really cool shows over there. Probably not as good as ours, but still, cool shows. Comics with an S, plural. Comics Podcast, actually double plural. ComicsPodcasts.com. That's it for this week, Charlie. Keep a lookout for next episode in the feed. We're going to be doing our solo review. Probably something quick. We don't want to spend all night going over that, and Charlie didn't like it anyway. So you can skip that episode if you want to. But we're going
John
to be,
already did his review.
I did a non-spoiler review. So we're going to come back and we're going to spoil.
We're going to spoil it.
And you got to remind me to start giving a spoiler warning at the beginning of our comic show because I keep forgetting to do that. Forgive us. In the meantime, my name is John.
I'm Charlie.
And we're out. You guys have a good night.
You know what? I thought it was funny. I saw this thing where, like, on the news yesterday, I think it was, this kid was walking to school. Mm-hmm. And apparently, like, I think he's like 16 or 17 years old or whatever. He's walking to school. Well, a bunch of people noticed that he's walking to school, didn't have a car. So what do you think they did?
You gave him a ride?
No, they crowdfunded him a car.
They crowdfunded him a car.
And I was like, Jesus Christ, I wish this would have happened when I was going to school. I walked like the last 2.5 years of school. Yeah.
Jeez.
I said, I wish the internet was around when I was going to school. Good Lord.
It was. It was just...
Well, I mean, I wished...
Things like that were
yeah.
Bad. Yeah.
I was like, heck, I would have had a car.
Life would have been different.
I would have had a date to prom.
That's optimistic.
But you dated a lesbian, so, you know.
I didn't date her. I took her to one dance. No, wait. I didn't take her to the dance. She just was there, and we just shared a dance. I don't even remember how it happened now.